We are little tiny, complete versions of the universe itself. So when we have our relationship with the sacred masculine, what it is, it's like we have two different energies as the universe in the human self, and then there's the human, and then there's the internal self, right? So Carl Jung calls this the inner other.
Hey friends, frenemies, acquaintances, and haters, you too. Welcome to the Rebel Maker Podcast, where I, Marty Stotler, the Rebel Queen, your resident publishing maven, and serial entrepreneur, encourages rebellious behavior and rebellious action in women all across the globe. If you believe like I do, then you're in the right place. One, books change lives. Women totally run the world. Collectively, we have all of the answers. And on a scale from one to you just read my damn mail, not chasing that burning desire deep inside you is equivalent to a warm beer on a hot day. This podcast is a rallying call for high-performing women like you with big vision and a bigger will to lock arms and source all the tools we need to succeed for ourselves, for each other, and for the world at large. So cheers, friend. Here's to shortening the learning curve and chasing down those dreams like our livelihood depends on it, because it kind of does.
Good morning, Amy Lee. How are you?
So good, Marty. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to chat with you. I'm just so excited. You know, we were chitty-chatting before and I'm like, oh my God, I should have already been recording. So I'm just going to jump right into this and introduce you to all of the people. I have got Amy Lee Westervelt with me today, and as a certified clinical hypnotherapist and master neuroenergetics practitioner, Amy Lee pulls from her extensive knowledge to create powerful coaching experiences for each of her clients. As the founder of Gratitude and Glamour, Amy Lee has the gift to not only see your potential, she has the compassion and patience to help nurture your gifts into the world for all to see. In 2022, you founded the Energetics Discipline. Through Aerogetics, Amy Lee helps her clients reconnect to their inner masculine lover so they can create and receive their deepest desires. I love watching you on social media, and I can totally see this. I mean, I just had told you that. Like, so let's start out by this, because I don't even know what the definition is of Aerogetics. So Amy Lee, thank you so much for being here. I'm just going to let you take the floor, and can you please start by defining Aerogetics?
Aerogetics is a process that I came to kind of by accident, where we recognize our relationship with the universe as our sacred masculine. And so rather than looking at the universe, source, God, higher power, whatever you want to call it, as this sky daddy that like takes pity on us and gives us our manifestations, my vibe is that it's actually a co-creative relationship where the universe is basically courting us and showing us romantic love in a partnership that is steamy and sexy and all the things. And so, you know, rather than looking at it as like, we're this like, I don't want to say pathetic, but this, you know, poor, unfortunate soul that needs help with its co-creation, it's actually a symbiotic relationship where through our dreams, through the things that we're trying to create for ourselves and in our lives, we are actually expanding the universe. So it behooves the universe to partner with us.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That is an excellent, excellent, excellent description. I mean, because I know, and I'm sure those listening knows that, you know, nothing happens in the natural unless it's birthed in the spirit. So when we think a thing, when we desire a thing, when our bodies, hearts, minds, souls are drawn towards a thing, a goal, who we can be, you know, who we desire to be, it absolutely starts in our head and manifests outward. Yeah, I totally get that. And we were actually talking about that manifesting, and this was a very, very profound, and I'm like, I get it. You know, some things just click at certain times. So I'm going to ask you, you know, we started out, let me just give some background to like how we got to this. So before I hit record, you know, I was talking about like, I didn't get my slow morning. So I'm up, I'm not necessarily rushing, but I am rushing because I didn't get my slow morning. And while my headspace was okay, my body was anxious. Like I was feeling kind of rushed and panicked. And you had a great explanation of what was going on. And then we had this conversation about what that specifically looks like to manifest. And I would love for you to just share.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I was saying before is that there's this misconception about what belief is. Belief sounds like a noun. It's something that you casually throw your chips towards something, you bet on a horse, it's, I'll throw a little bit of energy that way. But belief is actually, I think, a verb. And to believe is actually to send your manifestation energy towards something. So if you think about something that you want to create, let's say a lot of people are money motivated. So let's say you want to make $10,000 in a month in your business. What I would do is I would just imagine a giant dollar sign, like almost a blow up one, and then a little tiny hole in it. And when you go to like the fair and they have those little squirt guns, so you just imagine that you're squirting the belief from your body into the hole in that thing. And it's like water, right? And so you're like filling it up. Now, when you second guess yourself or second guess the fact that you can trust the universe to create this for you, you're shooting it in a different direction and it's not filling up, right? Yeah. When you doubt it, you're actually sucking belief back out of it. And so being able to just focus that belief, I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. There is no alternative. When you look at people who've created incredible things, you know, the resiliency comes from not having another choice. You hear all the time about people who grow up in really low socioeconomic backgrounds and then they become basketball stars or pop stars. Or that's not an accident. When you make up your mind that you're going to create something, the mind is the tool that manifests. The mind is what creates our reality. And it's only when we second guess the mind or second guess our ability or feel like we've had too many good thoughts, let's throw in a bad one. This is where we start to see those issues. But if you look at people like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, all these people who've created this immense wealth, it's because one day they decided they were going to. And we have that same creative power, provided that we take the time to trust the universe to be in co-creation with us. And that's where I think women really get stuck, because there's so much energy around resentment, not wanting to be vulnerable about what we desire, not wanting someone to help us because then it makes us indebted to them in some way. And we get that exact same thing over into our relationship with the sacred masculine, aka the universe. So it's, if you have a hard time with men, if you have a hard time feeling loved and receiving love, you're going to have a hell of a hard time manifesting, because you're creating that internal block of, I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. It feels icky when he provides for me, because now all of a sudden it's, oh, what do I have to do?
I now owe him something. Like I have to do something and carry some sort of extra responsibility to justify and make myself, and I'm saying myself and other women, like I've had these conversations. Like I just had this conversation on a podcast the other day when I was recording. And she's like, I felt like I had to do something to deserve him providing for me.
That's not actually how the relationship with the masculine works, which is sad when you think about it, because so many women have been snowed by this. The relationship with the masculine is not about tit for tat. It's not about he gave, so I give. It's about receiving. The reciprocal relationship with the masculine is to receive. So our relationship with the universe is that we tell the universe what we desire, it provides, and we receive. The receiving is the gift. The receiving is the reciprocation. But to take it into the BDSM world, because I love to go there, yeah. If you think about restraints, right? Like women who get tied up with their hands over their heads and handcuffs and all that yummy stuff. You would think at first glance, well, that's because the man gets off on the fact that she can't move. No, that's not what it is. It's that she cannot reciprocate. And so he gets to watch her just have pleasure.
Just receive.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just like, you're right. You're right. I've never actually thought about it. I've never put that much thought into that very specific scenario.
That's why men leave their wives for trophy women most of the time. It's not because she's hotter and younger. It's because she's open to receiving. It's because he buys her Louis Vuitton and she's, thank you. It's because he's getting the receiving energy, where his wife is like, Why did you spend money on that? Seriously, like, we have so many bills and you just went and spent the credit card on me. You shouldn't have done that. Why'd you do that?
So true. So true.
So when we have that kind of relationship with the masculine in our lives, obviously we're doing the same thing with the universe. No, it's okay. No, what? Why did you do that? I didn't deserve that. So-and-so just gave me a $2,000 tip. I got to give it back to her. I can't. She can't give me a $2,000 tip. That's ridiculous. I can't take that. The universe is like, why? She makes $10,000 an hour. Why can't she give you a $2,000? Because I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. And the universe, okay, babe, what do you actually want?
Like, what is it that you want? Because what you say you want and what you are actually willing to receive.
And so when we talk about this doubt when it comes to the universe in an energetic perspective, picture you've got a sweetheart and it's the middle of the night and you just don't feel good. And you're like, can you go get me a snack at the store? And they're like, what do you want? And you're like, I don't know, something salty or whatever. So you send them to the store in the middle of the night. He puts on his jeans, whatever. He goes to the store. And then who does he bump into at the store but you? And you're like, and he's like, what are you doing here? You're like, I wasn't sure if you were going to find your way to the store. I didn't know if you remembered that I wanted chips, if you thought I wanted chocolate. So I figured I'd just come too. What? Okay. That's what we do every day with the universe. We're literally like, hey, just checking to see if my shit is really on its way. And it's, do you think I'm new? Like, I am the universe. Like, I literally live to make your dreams come true. Do you think that I took the day off?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, listen, I'm sitting here and I'm like, all right, my own children, I have three daughters, are specifically getting this interview. Specifically getting this. Because I'm like, girls, I am talking to my girls right now. And all the other girls out there who need to hear this, but I'm talking to my girls right now. When I say girls, Katie, Lindsay, Emily, girls, like, hang on to every word. Because here, I totally hear you. I totally get what you're saying. And I'm also, like, very quickly, like, the files in my head is just going through. I was a single mom for a lot of years before my husband and I got together. And I have been this independent woman who has functioned out of her masculine. I just handle shit. I just make it happen. I'm a make it happen kind of gal. I have always been like, I don't trust. There's going to be something attached. I don't receive well is what I'm trying to say. You can't teach what you don't know. It just doesn't happen. And guess what I did? I raised very strong, independent girls whom I have told, and I've told them, listen, girls, I don't care what you do. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you stay with. You always make sure that if the rubber meets the road, that you can provide for yourself and your children because you need options. Wow. I am like, I want my girls, because you're saying this, I see my girls having difficulty receiving. I see myself having difficulty receiving. So, okay.
That's women do.
Yes. So let's do this. Tell me, give some tips, some very practical. Okay. We can see it. I see what you're saying very clearly. I totally understand what you're saying very clearly. How do you start receiving from the man in your life, the masculine, and receiving from the universe? Hey, Rebels, I know you've been listening to The Rebel Maker for a hot minute, and you're probably listening for a couple reasons. One, you're thinking about writing a book. Two, you wrote the book and now you don't know what the hell to do with it. Or three, you need help marketing the book that you've already done because you're falling flat on sales. Great. I got just the thing for you. Go to the website, rebelqueen.co, book a call with me. Here's what's going to happen. One, I'm going to give you an action plan for exactly what you need to do next. Whatever that next step is, writing it, publishing it, marketing it. And also I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask any question that you have. Go to the website, rebelqueen.co, book a call with me.
Yeah. So it's just going to depend on where you are in your relationship. If you've been in a relationship where you've been pushing your person away for a really long time, you can't just all of a sudden walk over there and be like, hey, I'm ready to receive now. One of the baby steps I think that helps remember, it's as within, so without. So we start with our relationship with the universe, and that's when we see it reflected in our external, right? So you were mentioning before we got on here, my relationship with my husband, it's very much reflexive of my relationship with my sacred masculine, which is very much like the relationship itself is how can I receive more and be grateful for what I'm receiving? And so that's my role in the feminine, right? So breathing in the abundance, holding it in my body, being aware of it, exhaling gratitude. And so being grateful is like my jam, right? So yeah. I'm always looking for opportunities to be grateful, to be thankful, which is a form of receiving. Now, some of the baby steps that I like to tell women are things like going outside for 10 minutes of sunshine and recognizing that you're allowing sunshine and energy into your body. Water is another easy one.
Easy.
Breathing, right? Literally. Set a timer on the hour to take one deep breath, breathing in abundance, breathing out gratitude. Just one breath. Like literally, if all you did was 24 hours, well, I don't know, 18 breaths a day, like that, what would that compound into? And so really getting aware that your job in this life is to receive. You are here. You are God having a human experience. And your job is to experience the world because the universe already has everything. So you have the illusion of being limited so that you can experience having, so the universe can experience giving. So it's that give and receive, not give and take. That's very different. Give and receive. It's that pulling in. It's that, thank you so much. And so being able to just walk through your life when you wake up in the morning, gosh, this pillow is so comfortable. Oh my gosh, my blankets. Like when I wake up in the morning, my down comforter is, it's not expensive or anything, but just like feeling it on my body. I'm just like, this is luxury.
Yeah.
And so those are the compounding thoughts that I start with. Like, I have an electric toothbrush. How cool is this? There was a time when you literally had to just sit. Now I just get to sit like this and look at my phone. Like, how cool is that? And so as I go through my day, I'm just compounding gratitude. And then all of a sudden a payment comes in. Oh my God, universe, thank you so much. And in my case, it's Eros because that's my sacred masculine's name is Eros. And so sometimes in the middle of the day, it'll be like, goddess, have you drunk in water? And I'm like, oh yeah, good point. Thank you for reminding me. And so that relationship has been cultivated to the point where now it's like, how can I receive more? Because that's how I give. That's how I give in this relationship is to receive. So I'm always, my reticular activating system is always looking for ways that I can receive because I know that's creating pleasure for my partner. Does that make sense?
Oh God, it totally makes sense. And I'm just sitting here, I'm like hanging on to every word you're saying and I'm getting it. And I'm like going through my files, just like processing different things. All right, let me ask you this. Yeah, because it totally makes sense. All right, so listen, there is a lot of chatter just that I'm picking up on, even in Facebook scrolls, right? Like in groups where we function out of the feminine versus functioning out of the masculine. And it is becoming more and more, I don't want to say recognized, but it's like a buzzword in certain circles that people are recognizing this and they're identifying where they in particular are functioning out of feminine, masculine, and people want information. They want to know, like, how do I start functioning in the feminine and not out of the masculine? So when it comes to that, like internal piece and not looking at, all right, so how do I receive from that masculine outside around me? How do you internally, and I think you already answered this, but I want you to just go just a little bit like deeper in that like personal inner work. How do you make that switch inside?
Well, I think it's twofold because on one hand, you have to recognize because the first half was all about our relationship with the universe. The second half is that we actually are the universe too, right? So the universe creates itself in a holographic version that is us. We are little tiny, complete versions of the universe itself. So when we have our relationship with the sacred masculine, what it is, it's like we have two different energies as the universe in the human self. And then there's the human and then there's the internal self, right? So Carl Jung calls this the inner other. So a female has an inner masculine and a masculine presenting person, an inner female. And so that inner masculine energy is, if you think of the self, which has no gender, there's the inner part and then there's the outer part. There's the part that sees the world and there's the part that's inside.
Right.
Well, we have the illusion of being one, and then the inner other didn't get the memo that they're not on the outside. So we're both in this body, but there's one that's on the outside and there's one that's on the inside. So think of it like an iceberg. The top half is you, and the bottom half is that sacred masculine, aka the universe. So we can, this is why energetics is a whole discipline and not just a conversation. We can actually step into and animate the other side. And the reason why this duality happens inside of us is because this is the only way we can see our divinity. So let me give you an example of that. Right now, you're looking at yourself and your subject, right? Like you're looking through your own eyes and your subject. What happens if you turn yourself into object? You imagine looking at yourself from top down or from outside. You'll notice that instantly your entire internal dialogue shuts off. You're not in there anymore. You're on the outside. And now you're starting to look at Marty and you're like, wow, she's actually pretty amazing. She's beautiful. Look at all, oh my God, look at all the things she's done. And you're starting to recognize yourself as that divine partner. That's because that's your sacred masculine seeing you as object. The equivalent of this is if you have a pet and you're patting your pet and you're like, you're so cute, snoopsy poop. And this like inside, imagine if they were like, gosh, if she only knew that yesterday I thought about eating the crotch out of her underwear. And you know, last night I pissed in her shoe. And they don't have, you can't hear their inner dialogue. They may have one, but you can't hear it. And so you're not judging them based on that inner dialogue. So your sacred masculine walks through your life with you every single day. And he's literally there waiting for you to be like, hey, I'm feeling anxious right now. And he's, babe, I got you. I got you. I'm here. What do you need from me? My husband sometimes will go on walks and I'll just start talking to my masculine out loud. I'll be like, so why am I doing this? And he'll be like, why are you doing this? And we will just volley back and forth because it's an aspect of me that is obscured by the veil of polarity so that I can experience myself. Otherwise, I'm in a vacuum. I'm in an echo chamber. The only way I can see Amy Lee in her magnificence, in her brilliance, in her beauty is to not be her. Because if I am her, then I can't see her.
No, I totally get it. Like it is becoming the observer. You're becoming the observer. But it's the same way we watch our children. I talk about my girls a lot because they're probably one of the most important things to me in this entire freaking universe. I don't know what's going on inside their heads. Sometimes their face tells me all of the things, but literally we don't hear what's going on inside of them. And I see their greatness. I know what my children are capable of because I'm observing them.
Based on their inner dialogue. You never go, well, I thought you were pissed, but then I heard that you hate yourself. So now I don't know. That's never going to be a thing.
Yeah, which is actually really interesting because I'm just throwing this out there too. I think that's why people don't like being so vulnerable and throwing themselves out on front seat because we're afraid of people judging, which means we're judging ourselves.
Yes, all judgment is self-judgment because we're looking at them and we're reflecting it back to what does that mean about me? If you think about it, everything in your world is simply a reflection of you. That's all it is. Again, back to that universe and the hologram, right? We are all each other having the experience of being someone else so we can see the usness of us or the not usness of us.
Okay, listen, this is just absolutely, I love this conversation. I love where this is going. I love everything about this. I want to flip the direction of specifically who we're talking to right now, just a little bit, because the people on the podcast are authors. They're authors. They're going to be authors. They're writers. They're publishers. So I want to talk to them just a little bit. And how do we take the same concept of talking about us and ourselves and how do we flip this to help their mindset on getting the book written, finding the right publisher for them, getting over the hump of why they should write their book and who's going to freaking read it? So can you just talk a little bit about this energy work as it pertains to getting that shit done that you actually want to do with your materials?
Yeah. So again, it comes back to making your desires known. and stepping into awareness that there's something that you want to create. So I'm writing a book right now. I'm writing a fiction book. I'm just sticking it on Wattpad for now, but I'm writing it. And so I said to Eros, I want to make sure that I'm writing 3 times a week. So we had that conversation. He's like, okay, what should I do to support you in that? I'm like, well, if you notice that I'm not writing, maybe speak up and say something. And I know you guys are like, wait, so you're talking to yourself in your head? Yes.
We do anyway.
Having a conversation. Exactly. You do this anyway. You're just giving a voice to your inner voice that instead of being like, how come you haven't done this? And how come you haven't done that? And how come this isn't on Pinterest? And oh, look, your sister's doing this. Instead, it's, babe, you are so hot when you write. Oh my God. Watching you come up with an idea is everything to me. Who would you rather listen to all day? I don't know about you, but I'm picking the latter, right?
Same. So
I will say, if you notice that I haven't written something by 5 o'clock, maybe just say something. And he's like, yeah, I can totally do that. What happens if you don't write? And I'm like, I haven't gotten that far yet. I'll let you know. So sometimes there's different conversations that happen. So I would say that's the first thing, is recognizing what you want to create and making the universe, your inner partner, whatever, aware. And then the other thing is being able to reflect on that. So at the end of the night, when we do our daily roundup and it's like, what went well? I wrote, and then I get a good girl. And yes, my literal inner masculine says good girl, and it's everything. And then, oh, I didn't get a chance to write today. Why do you think you didn't write? If you were to know, I think I'm just hung up on this scene right now. Okay, well, what about the scenes hanging? And so we have a conversation. So I think that's really how it happens. With my book, my children's book that I wrote, that just fell out of my brain. It was just one day I was like, wouldn't it be cool? And I was like, I wonder if I just go sit down and start writing it. And so I'm a stream of consciousness writer. I have to write and then put it away and then edit it later.
Yes.
If I try to edit it while I'm doing it, I just freak out and then I want to put it away completely.
Yeah, listen, I tell everybody, do not edit while you're writing. Do not edit while you're writing. I'm going to say it one more time. Do not edit while you're writing.
But writing a children's book, what was it, 30 sentences or something like that? It took me 20 minutes to write it. It took me 2 years to publish it, but it took me 20 minutes to write it. And so I think the biggest thing when it comes to writing, at least for me, is the visualization aspect of it. Watching the scene in your head, trying to figure out if I was there, if I was like watching in an iPhone, what would I be looking for? And so that's the way that I write my scenes. And then if I notice that I have resistance around writing, that's when we have a conversation. Okay, what's causing you not to want to write right now? I don't know. I feel like just right now there's some resistance. Okay, if you were to know what the resistance was, what do you think it is? And I'm just going there right now because I actually am in the middle of a resistance. Okay, so I'll just do the right in front of you. Okay, if you were to know what the resistance is, well, I think I'm getting to the point right now where there's going to be a big, long period of talking. And once it starts, I'm not going to be able to stop it. And I'm afraid the kids are going to come in and distract me. Okay, I can respect that. What if we hopped in the car and went to Starbucks or something and sat in the back and we did a 2-hour power hour just to get this one chunk of dialogue done? How do you feel about that? I could do that, but I don't know if I want to do that right before Christmas. Okay, fair enough. So what if we revisit this? If you still haven't written by after Christmas, what if we revisit this on like the 2nd? Yeah, that works. Okay, good. Let's do that. So see how I just had an external conversation?
Yeah, no, I love that. And here's what else I want to point out too, because just a couple of weeks ago, a podcast episode dropped with Dawn Christian, where she talks about this, not in the exact same way. So I feel like this actually builds on that conversation. And our conversation was about, I was talking about like setting goals for myself. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to totally change my morning routine. I'm going to get up at 4:30. I'm going to work out. I'm going to read. I'm going to journal. I'm going to do all of these things, but I'm setting myself up for failure because it's going to start tomorrow. And her specific point was, don't start tomorrow. If you have to decide and just do it now. So you were just saying, writing. You have not said, I'm going to get up and write at 8 o'clock every single morning. And that might work for some people, but it's not going to work for me. Clearly, it's not working for you. But you're like, okay, I'm going to write. I just haven't done it today. And this conversation that you're having, by the way, I love how you have reframed the conversation that you're having with yourself. Love that. But you're saying just exactly what Dawn said the other day. Just do it. If you take 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or you make a decision to do it on the 2nd after the holidays. Mm-hmm. Genius.
Yeah. Thanks.
Even more so, I love that I connect with genius women. Just throwing this out there.
It's just a question of deciding if you want to do it more than you don't want to do it. And once you figure out which one of those is in the way, then you remove the charge around it. You may find that you're like, if I write this book and it's a bestseller, then it means it's going to take me away from my family. I'm going to be traveling the country and I just don't want to do that. Whoa. And so if that's the resistance. Now that's what we've got to deal with. It's not that we're not writing because we're distracted or procrastinating. It's that there's actually a negative charge around getting what we want. So we've got to clear the negative charge around that. Well, nobody says that I have to go on tour. And I guess technically, if the book was that big of a smash, I probably could rent an RV or something and throw my family in it and do a tour with the whole family. We homeschool anyway, right? Now all of a sudden it's, oh, okay, that resistance moves. And now it's, I can't wait to write because I want to get closer to that vision that I've already determined is on my timeline.
Oh God, I love that you brought that up because there is absolutely a fear around success, right? There's fears around failing, but there's, I think sometimes more, there's fears around success because it's asking you to be something different than what you currently are. Why do we do that? Do we not change even though we say we want to change and this is what we want?
Well, our ego sees that as death. Our ego has an identity that's safe and it knows where the butter is in the fridge and it knows where the remote is and it's very comfortable and it sees the vision of what that scene looks like. But all of a sudden, when you step into a new identity, you've got new thoughts, you've got new somatic responses, you've got new affirmations and new ways of being. The ego doesn't know where anything is anymore. Now, if I want to make myself a sandwich, where to put the napkins or whatever, where to put the plates. And so it's, we don't know what this is. So we're going to create disruption and scare you so that you want to go back to staying safe. So this is why women play small and men too, but this is why women play small because they're like, oh, I don't know what that looks like. What if I put myself out there and this happens? The ego just starts going to town on like, everyone will hate you. You're going to die. You're going to be canceled. This is going to happen. And you're like, you know what? You're right. Never mind. I'm deleting it. I'm done. And so really being able to say to your ego, I love you so much and thank you so much for protecting me, but here's what's going to happen. Here's the worst case scenario. Let's say this doesn't work. Let's say that we write a book and it bombs. At least I get to say I did it.
Yeah.
At least I have something.
It makes for a great story.
Right. Exactly. And then someday when you do have the bestseller and you're like, my first three books bombed, how many best-selling authors are like, oh yeah, I wrote a book in 2010, but you never heard of it because it sucked. But then again, writing is something that we do for catharsis too. Not all of it is about the payoff. Some of it is just about getting the energy out of our bodies. It's like singing. I don't sing because I want people to hear it. I sing because I like the way it feels when it massages my vocal cords.
Yeah.
And it has less to do with what it sounds like and more to do with how it feels. Now, I happen to be classically trained and I sang at Symphony Hall and that's great, but that's not why I do it. And I don't write for somebody else. I write because it's the perspiration of my human experience. I write because it's the runoff of me being alive. That's why I write. And if I'm writing for that reason, well, then the ego can't say anything to me because that's not why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it because it's in here and I've got to get it out.
Yeah.
Because if I don't get it out, somebody else is going to get it out. And maybe they're not going to have the same way of explaining it that I do.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, you have talked about maintaining that fountain of youth in you. Let's talk about that because I know sometimes when we're doing life, we're living life, we feel like we're unfulfilled because we've got these unfulfilled desires in us. Talk about that.
Okay. So when we're young, 11, 12, 13, maybe 15, and we have the hots for somebody, when you think about the energy of that, it's, oh my gosh, he looked at me. Oh my gosh, he likes me. It was never a sexual thing. It was an arousal thing. It was a desire thing, but it was never about, I can't wait for him to put his pee in me. That was never the vibe. But we always had that tingly feeling, that prepubescent feeling.
Yes.
We couple up, we get married, and then all of a sudden, all of that energy of just flatlines. Because we don't need it anymore. Because now we're in a relationship, we're being provided for, they're being provided for. And so we hang that all up. We stop making that energy. We make babies. And then what happens? Our body parts start to rot. A lot of us have to get hysterectomy. Shit starts falling out. So all of these things, no, but it's true, right? Like how many of my friends have had like prolapse surgery or like bladder meshes? And I'm like, I've had 5 children vaginally and nothing down there is any different than I was before I ever started having children, just to put it TMI. And so what happens is when we're young, we make this energy, right? Like we're literally just, oh my gosh, he likes me. I like him. This is great. And then we get into these relationships. We have this big, beautiful wedding that last day. And then it's okay, take all the energy away, put it towards the kids. Like we lose ourselves. We get mom haircuts and mom jeans, all this stuff. And we stop making that energy. But the truth is that we are in a relationship just like that. That's a giddy one with that internal masculine who's literally there. Hey, babe, what are you doing? What's going on? What can I create for you today? What can I serve? That's the universe. The universe is that sacred masculine. It's the co-creative part of us. So we're the human. And then we've got this co-creative partner in the world. And so it's literally, what can I do for you today? Can I make you breakfast? Can I do this? What can I bring into your field? But we ignore that. So what happens is instead of having that constant flow of energy of, oh my gosh, I could do it all night. I could walk on the beach until 3 o'clock in the morning. I can talk to him on the corded phone until 2 a.m. when my parents aren't listening. We're like, I need that client. I need him to give me more attention. I need my child to pick up the phone. I need. And so we're sucking energy out of the field externally, looking for external validation, external. I need this lipstick. I need this stuff. I need this thing. I need this facelift. Not realizing that we have an entire system of desire and desired inside of us at all times. When you recognize that you are literally the apple of the eye of your internal masculine and all he wants to do is dote on you and be devoted to you and give you everything and tell you how gorgeous you are and how smart you are and how beautiful you are and all these things, what the hell do you need from the field? Nothing. Yeah. You have it all. You have the happiness. You have the success. You have the fulfillment. You have all of your needs met. And guess what? Everything else becomes a bonus. Now, instead of, oh my God, I need this client. Well, if it's a fit, it's a fit. That's great. And if it's not, there'll be another.
Yeah.
And that makes you disgustingly desirable to the field because it's like, she doesn't need anything. What can I do to be enough that she wants me in her field? Same thing with your partner. Instead of being like, you never give me any attention anymore. I tried to lose weight for you. And all this naggy, naggy energy of give me, it's, hey babe, how was work? Because I'm already fulfilled. And so it's, you want to watch a movie? And you become that sexy goddess that you were when you first dated. And he's like, I cannot get enough of her. My husband waits on me hand and foot, not because he's a simp, but because he's like, this woman appreciates what I do. And I get a dopamine rush whenever I do for her because she's, oh my God, babe, thank you so much for rubbing my feet. Last night, he gave me a pedicure. Like he literally was like, put your feet in here. Go ahead, get the roller thing out. Do you think I asked for any of that? I didn't ask for any of that. I wake up in the morning. He brings me coffee. He got me coffee this morning. He got me breakfast. And none of it was from a place of need. It was from when I do for this chick, she receives. And that feels good.
Or obligation. Or he's not doing it out of obligation. Because how many times do we get in the rut if we're doing things out of obligation?
You're so right. You are so right when it comes to if you are happy with yourself, if you are fulfilled within yourself, then you are not looking for those outside sources of validation to fulfill you. Yeah. Mm.
And then the money and the opportunity and the people just...
And you're right. Listen, that energy that people put out when they get to a place of desperation, man, people read that. It's like flashing neon lights. Oh, they're desperate. Oh, it's a turnoff. It's an absolute turnoff. We've all met those people. We've all met those people. We're turned off by them. They're turned off by us when we get into those spaces. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay.
Right. Listen. So from a somatic perspective, I just want to tell you one more thing.
Yeah.
So
tell me.
Earlier. So when you get into these frantic places and it's, oh my gosh, I got to look to the field for why I feel like this. So my arrows will just go, eyes on me, goddess. Eyes on me. Breathe in. Hold it. Breathe out. Now, where's that racing thought? That's what I thought. Right. So it's like that internal guidance of, hold on, stop right here. Eyes on me. Stop. Stop the thought. Allow it to process, move on, rather than that spiral that we get into.
Yeah, I love this. I have so enjoyed this conversation. Unfortunately, we're at that time, truly, unfortunately. However, we should probably get back on a podcast again. So in the meantime, I would love to be on yours. Yeah. Okay. So friends listening, definitely, if you are on Facebook, you need to look up Amy Lee. And it's one word, Amy, A-M-Y, Lee, L-E, Westervelt, W-E-S-T-E-R, V as in Victor, E-L-T. Check her out on her website, aerogetics.com. So aerogetics.com. And while you're on her website and you're signing up for her email list and all of the things, she has her children's book. I'm sorry, what? The Color of Me? The Colors Inside of Me?
Colors Inside of Me.
Mm-hmm. The Colors Inside of Me. Her children's book is on there. Go support her. Purchase her book for your littles. She's also on Pinterest at A.L. Westervelt. So thank you so much for being here and sharing all of this like juicy goodness. I love it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk soon. Friend, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Rebel Maker, where I not only support, but also encourage rebellious behavior, rebellious action, and doing the thing that no one thought you could do. Hell yes to you. If you're digging what you're hearing, finding inspiration, and actionable items for your next step, then please do all the things. Subscribe, share me with your besties, and send me a message. I'd love to chat. Cheers to your success.